Is it the case that civil liberties have no business intruding on the security of Americans who want to trust that they can live and work without fear of Islamic radicals attacking them?
We can continue to play this game and do this dance that there's no Islam in the Islamic State. And the right will continue to have its really tough, strong, aggressive policies. Or we can acknowledge that there's an ideological problem that is a very minority part of our population, and we can then isolate that, just as extremists in all communities have to be isolated, and defeat it.
That's Asra Nomani, former Wall Street Journal reporter and co-founder of the Muslim Reform Movement, explaining her vote for Donald Trump last Tuesday. Nomani says Trump's call for a new suspicion of Islam found Americans eager to dial down civil liberties in the pursuit of security. Today, a prospective warning that a generalized suspicion of Muslims can be equally dangerous, if not more. Dr. Suzanne Barakat's brother, his wife, and wife's sister were murdered by a neighbor in North Carolina in what was investigated as a hate crime back in 2015. Barakat says that hate was fueled by the very rhetoric she heard from the Trump campaign.
During his South Carolina primary, he shared a story to the effect saying that Muslims were deserving of being killed with bullets dipped in pig's blood. And up until that point, I was kind of watching peripherally, not really involved. It was very triggering for me to see, you know, presidential candidates harping on this kind of hatred. But when he said that, I remember waking up that morning and feeling like this is it. This is the last straw for me. I started a Twitter account and my first tweet was basically challenging him, and I told him, meet me in person and tell me that Dia, Yusin, and Razan were deserving of those bullets. It was picked up by the New York Times. It went viral. But of course, I think meeting with me would have been very threatening to his campaign because I, as a typical American Muslim, portrayed the exact opposite of what he was trying to share with the American people.
Now, people can say all sorts of things, but the actual threat to your life comes from, you know, individuals who are going to grab a gun and do something to you. Who's protecting you in America right now? Because this week, nothing has changed. There's still police. There's still, you know, anti-discrimination laws, and there's still, you know, particularly out there in the Bay Area, a lot of people who believe like you believe.
I think that's why it's so prudent and crucial and important for the entire American people to stand together now, hand in hand, as allies for one another, standing up for injustice everywhere, standing up for these minority groups that have been attacked viciously during his campaign. You know, he may act differently now that he's in office, but this is the rhetoric that got him elected. So it's still a very scary time for American Muslims. You know, what do you tell your kids who are going to school, who are being bullied because of their faith? I have been offered security to go into work. It's a very scary time. You know, just on the eve of the election, I was working my shift in the pediatric urgent care clinic, and a mom of white privilege comes in and she's reluctant to let me touch her daughter, her toddler. Walking through airports every single time, it doesn't matter if I'm flying out to meet with the President of the United States on his invitation. The pat-downs that happen 99% of the time. When boarding a plane, it's the worst feeling to go up, walk down the aisle, and feel the palpable fear in people's eyes. People don't necessarily have to say something for you to know that you're unwelcome, that you're feared, that you're seen as a threat. And I don't deserve that. I don't think any human being deserves that in this country. And, you know, the optimists in us will say that love will prevail and we will overcome this. My family's already out of time. I have family members who were killed because of this hate. Other family members are also going through the same. How many more lives need to end before we realize how urgent this is and how important it is for all of us now to stand in solidarity with one another, to stand up to that injustice when we see it?
What did the other president that you have strong feelings about do to help you?
You know, during his first visit ever as a president to an American mosque in last February, he invited a group of 11 American Muslim leaders to join him for a roundtable discussion before he addressed the nation and the Muslim Americans in the crowd. And what he did was very important and commendable, and it was an honor and a privilege to be able to reach the point where I'm able to share my story with the leader of the free world. But I will tell you what was concerning and why we have a long ways to go and a lot of work to do in this country is that one of the responses was, well, we need to make sure that we prevent another Paris or San Bernardino attack from happening. And you can feel the palpable disappointment in the room. You know, people uneasy in their seats. And I think that message came across. But it was a testament that these conversations are important to have, and they were so important to start having. Again, because it's important to include us as part of the conversation, because as long as the conversations are about us and not with us, then things that Hillary Clinton used in her campaign, oftentimes American Muslims were presented as, you know, quote, the front line. Let's use our Muslim American neighbors as allies to be in the front line against extremism, as if I'm supposed to be aware of my extremist, I don't know, like Muslim community members. I mean, what does that suggest? You're still basically telling everyone that American Muslims are a threat. So on both party lines, we need to be changing that narrative. And until we see American Muslims as a part of the fabric of this country, who are contributing members to this society, who care about this country as anyone else, then yeah, we still have a long ways to go. We have a lot of work to do.
Suzanne, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, John.
That's Suzanne Barakat. Her brother, Dia, her sister-in-law, Yusor, and Yusor's sister, Razan, were murdered by their neighbor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, back in February of 2015.